Log Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, everybody. You've joined the, hallelujah, glory to God, the Wednesday International Victory Service of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center. You know, in your mind, Ministries International, where the broken are made whole by God. Hallelujah. This is your host, Bishop E.T. Byrd, along with Pastor Peaches Bird, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I know you are. Hallelujah. And look, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is going to be a special program. May is always a high time for us anyhow. With Mother's Day, our wedding anniversary, and my wife's birthday, we're going to do something that we have not done ever, as far as I can remember. We're going to have you share some intimate time with us as we celebrate our wedding anniversary. And I'm going to celebrate my wife's birthday. She's going to be legal very soon. Hallelujah. But again, you joined the Wednesday International Victory Service of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center. And before we go on any further, Pastor Peaches, could you give us the housekeeping suggestions on today?
Hallelujah. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Take out your... Get your Bibles, because we just may give you some scriptures. Hallelujah. There's a lot of scriptures in the Bible on marriage and relationships. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Get your communion elements together. We will be taking communion. Don't forget to redo your alarm for tomorrow morning, praise and worship. And Sunday, our fourth Sunday service, our guest will be Pastor Maxine Lee from Essex, Maryland, and afterwards we will be serving a delicious meal, natural meal. Hallelujah. Come and join us. And don't forget the fifth Sunday of the month. This month has five Sundays. And the fifth Sunday, any and every month that has a fifth Sunday in it, that is Minister to Your Family Sunday. Okay, so think now what you can do with your family. We will not be having a live service here, so please do not come. But you will be able to hear a service from the archives on, like you usually do. We just won't be here. It just won't be one that we are simulcasting at the time. But you will hear a previous service. And don't forget, go to rymmi.org to look and see what the ministry is all about. Read the vision. Hallelujah. There's also, if you like to donate something, there's a cash app there. Please look at the vision that's on there. Hallelujah. And don't forget, when you come to church the next time you come, don't forget to bring your pennies and drop them in a jar. We are still assisting in building the hospital in Uganda. Thank you so very much. And also mark your calendars for the second Friday of the month. The next time we'll be having it will be next month, is Men's and Women's Fellowship. So the ministry is busy. And just mark your calendars. And don't forget, start your morning off with Jesus. Join us in praise and worship in the morning. And just a little note, if you have a hard time getting in, calling the morning worship number like we did this morning, I don't know, maybe a glitch in the system or whatever, keep on trying, because we had to do that this morning. I had to do it a number of times. And just continue to do it. And then after you get in, if it goes out, don't hang up. Just hold on, and it will come back in. Okay? It did that to me several times today. I don't know. We've been doing this for a number of years, and we've never had this problem. But it's something new. But if you have a problem, after you've gotten in, if you try several times and you get in to the morning worship number, just stay there once you've gotten in. And after a while, it may go out, but it'll come back in. Okay, thank you so very much. And thank you to everyone for all your condolences, your flowers, your gifts, your prayers during the homegrown celebration of my baby, Shelly. And we appreciate it. And continue to pray for the family, please. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, man. Pastor Peaches. I really appreciate you sharing all of these announcements and what's coming up. And I do want to add a couple of things. We will begin to have a Bible study on a Tuesday evening, and this will be interactive. We will give you more information about that, but we will begin to have a Bible study on Tuesdays at 7, and we will let you know when that will begin. But we are making sure that everything is together before we push ahead with that.
We got the ordination service Sunday.
Oh, yes. On this coming Sunday, we'll have an ordination service as well. There was some very fine people, servants of the Lord, will be ordained or licensed on this coming Sunday. So again, we love to have you present at our 3 p.m. Service. And of course, we thank Bishop Larry Somerville for having us at his service.
Amen.
On past Sunday.
Amen.
It was a glorious time.
Yeah.
In what's that, Towson? It was a wonderful time in the Lord, and we thank God for blessing all of us.
Amen.
So we thank you. Now, before we go any further, I want to share with you, number one, all you religious, you put your seatbelts on. because we're going to do something a little different today. But before we launch out into the deep, hallelujah, we're going to put some names up into the atmosphere because somebody prayed for us. They had us on their mind. They took a little time to pray for us. So we are going to do the same. Hallelujah. We thank God for the opportunity to do the same. So as we play this selection in the background, put people's names up into the atmosphere of blessings. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because you see, when the praises go up, the blessings come down.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name today. Hallelujah. Pastor. Hallelujah. Pastor Teacher Spirit. Sister Annette James. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Minister. Hallelujah. Linda. Hallelujah. Sterling and Reggie and Barry and David.
Hallelujah. Dr. Earl Burns.
Allen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Don
Miller Curtis.
Tiffany. And
Danielle Curtis.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Dominic Jones.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Donya and Tiffany and Bianca. And
hallelujah.
Mother Harris and Angie and Yvette and Rosalind and Ronald. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Avon Bird, Earl Jr.
Minister Jerry Cleveland and
Keisha.
Hallelujah.
Rachel Johnson.
Hallelujah.
Eartha Johnson. Arena Johnson.
Apostle.
And Shaw. Viola Wright.
Hallelujah. And
Lewis.
Dominique and Dominique. Dominique and another.
Alita.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Elder Chubby.
D. Hall.
Another Dominique. Justin. Hallelujah.
Nicholas Jones.
Gina Bruce. Hallelujah.
Arena Jones.
Hallelujah.
Nick Ennis.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Malachi Xavier.
And another Tavon.
Malachi Bird.
Another Tavon. And Travion. Hallelujah. And Julie and Anna and Ava and Kitty and Little Kitty and Stephanie and Little Stephanie and
Nicholas.
Desiree and Monica.
Antonio.
And
it was Dexter Jones.
And hallelujah. Glory to God. Joshua and Victor. Hallelujah. And Little Mitchell. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Mitch.
Carol King.
Darlene. Pastor Don.
Wayne King.
Hallelujah. And his family. Hallelujah.
Dean Hall.
Larry.
And James.
And Pastor Elaine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Daniel Lawson.
Hallelujah.
Sam Phelps.
Brother Harry Ward.
Kathy Fittato.
Hallelujah.
Mikey Jones. Antonio Jones.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lisa Johnson. Precious Johnson.
Pastor Christine Olivia.
Damien Weatherby.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pastor Lewis.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Viola Wright.
Hallelujah.
Lewis Knight. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
KJ
Lowry. Hallelujah. James Worthy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Delisa Worthy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Angela Jennings Hill.
David.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Elder Rosetta Carey.
Hallelujah.
Marcia Avon. Archbishop Carey Robinson. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bishop Munro Saunders, J.R.
Chris Catalmont.
Call to Bishop Bart.
Henry Speckles.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bishop Vernon McBride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory.
Pastor Master Lee, Pastor Shiada,
you said,
hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Kimberly, another Kimberly, and kill another Kimberly. Pamela, another Pamela, and kill another Pamela, and another Pamela. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Leslie,
another
Leslie,
Dawn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Another Marina. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Red.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Earl, another Earl, and another Earl. And
that's right.
And welcome, Earl. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Another Tavon and George Dukeson.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And Shirley.
Thank you, Lord.
And Michelle and Marvin and James Kelly. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Now, before we go on any further, we want you to get your communion elements because we're going to take Holy Communion right now. This is the meal that heals.
Hallelujah.
This is the meal that gives life, preserves life, revives life.
Thank you.
This is the meal that confirms the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 23 through 30. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
That's our text on today,
yes,
this evening. Hallelujah. We'll give you time to get it because we're doing communion a little earlier than we usually do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In the text today, the word of the Lord says to examine yourselves. And we do just that. We thank you, Lord, for your covenant name. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are Jehovah Shidkenu. You are our righteousness and our forgiveness of sin. And Father God, we repent of everything we said, done, and even thought that was displeasing in your sight. Please forgive us for every sin of omission and commission as we forgive everyone of everything they've ever done to us, whether real or imagined.
Hallelujah.
We thank you that their names are now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We forgive ourselves. We hold no grudges, no resentment,
Hallelujah.
And no guilt. And again, Lord, we examine ourselves. We comprehend. We understand. We're fully aware of what your body and blood has done for us. We rightfully discern the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your word helps us do that, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 53 and 5 says, you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon you, and with your stripes we are healed.
Yeah.
1 Peter 2:24 says, with your stripes we were healed. Hebrews 9:22b says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hallelujah. Revelations 1 and 5 says, you washed our sins with your own blood. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1 and 7, hallelujah. Colossians 1:14, hallelujah. Matthew 26:28 says, we have redemption through your blood that our sins are forgiven. So we comprehend, we're fully aware, we do understand what your body and blood has done for us. We rightfully discern the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
We lift up the elements of Holy Communion, O God. We thank you for them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you would bless them, anoint and sanctify in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name today, Lord. We glorify your name. On the same night in which the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread.
In remembrance of you, we take this bread.
Hallelujah.
Your body broken.
And when he had given thanks, and we thank you again, he broke it and declared, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's eat together.
We take this cup and remember your blood.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for our healing already. Your word says in St. Luke 4:18 and Isaiah 61:1-3, that you want to heal us everywhere we hurt. So we thank you, Lord, for healing every area of our lives, spiritual, emotional, physical, social, and financial healing. Thank you, Lord, for healing every system of our bodies, the alimentary system, cardiovascular system, the insulin system, the genital system, the integumentary system, the musculoskeletal system, the nervous system, the respiratory system, the system, the urinary system. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for healing from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, from inside out and outside in. We thank you, Lord, for supernatural creative miracles all over the world right now. Matthew 15:26. First John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Glory to God. St. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. And Psalms 100 says, we are your children and the sheep of your pasture, and healing is the bread of your children. We thank you, Lord, for healing bread on today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And likewise, on the same night with the Lord Jesus Christ, as we say, he took all souls. He took also the cup. And when he had given thanks, he thanked again. Hallelujah. He declared that this is the New Testament in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's drink together. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is already on the doorposts and lintels of our hearts. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is already on the doorposts and lintels of our homes. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13 and verse 23. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. God, you said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and none of the diseases of Egypt, of the world, shall overtake you when I see the blood. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already covers our course. Our homes, our families, our loved ones, our jobs, our ministries. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. We thank you, Lord, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already covers our past, present, and future sins, our missteps and mistakes, our forefathers and failures. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. We thank you, Lord, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers us as we sleep, as we travel in vehicles throughout the land, as we worship and play, as we walk and talk, as we worship and praise. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost, in the spirit of Elijah the Tishbite, we thank you that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already decimates, annihilates, eradicates, discombobulates, nullifies, brings to naught, makes to no effect, brings to nil, reverses, makes to no effect, utterly destroys every curse against us and our family, every shell, every hex, every rejection. We call down the fire of heaven in Jesus' name on every curse against us and our family, every shell, every hex, every vexing in Jesus' name. Fire, 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 fire. In Jesus' name, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. We thank you, Lord, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ already undoes, unties, severs, cuts, breaks, nullifies, brings to naught, makes to naught, brings to naught, reverses, eliminates, decimates, annihilates, eradicates, discombobulates, nullifies, utterly destroys every ungodly soul tie. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers all. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That your word says in Deuteronomy 30:19, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life and you and your children shall live. Psalms 118:17 says, you will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. Numbers 23:19, God, you said that you're not a man that you should lie, neither the son of man that you should repent. Everything you said, everything you've spoken out of your mouth, you shall perform it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55:11. Your word will not come back void, but it will accomplish. It will prosper in which it was sent. So we thank you for your word today, Father. We thank you, Lord, because of your word, we are healed, whole, and delivered in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, because of your word, we are set free in Jesus' name. Because of your word, God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We know who we are and whose we are and what we are. Because of your word, oh God, we are the Ark of the Covenant post-cross. Because you live in us. You reside in us. We thank you, Lord, because of your word, we are holy ground. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because of your word, Lord, we will speak. We will share boldly our family daily confession. We decree and declare. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Job 22:28, Romans 4:17, 2 Kings the first chapter, Acts 1:8, Romans 8:11. Again, we decree and declare that we are mighty men and women of valor, shaped in the image of God, full of integrity and truth, mighty thinkers in Jesus' name, lean, clean, spiritual thinking, kingdom of things. We know who we are from God's perspective, and we're not intimidated by anything in this life. We're kingdom citizens. We're fivefold ministry gifts. We're gifts to the ministry of health. We are brilliant. We are awesome. We are amazing. We are intelligent. We are powerful. We are perfect. We are strong. We are mighty. We are great. We are beautiful in Jesus' name. Now unto him is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory. Hallowed be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're not going to do Children's Corner on tonight because all of us are the children of the Most High King. But what we are is going to give you an intimate glimpse in the life of the birds.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to introduce y'all to the love of my life, the sugar that sweetens my coffee. The straw that stirs my drink. Hallelujah. I want to introduce you to Pastor Petersburg, but I know her as Peaches. Peaches, would you like to say something right now? I'd like to hear the next selection, but I'd like to say something right now.
Y'all, today is our 26th wedding anniversary. And I salute you to all prayers. Hallelujah.
Now, some of y'all know why she said that. Because I think I'm funny. And so I'm trying to tell jokes all the time. She doesn't think I'm funny. But guess what, y'all? She laughs at my jokes anyhow. Hallelujah. That's why I decided to keep her. But anyway, I'm going to play a selection real quick here. I want y'all to hear this.
You know, today is kind of sad, but there's actually a lot of people in the world that don't really know what true love is. Too many of us confuse love with physical attraction, infatuation, lust. A lot of people think love is conditional. I love you if you love me, or I love you if you're lovely. But love is kind and long-suffering. Love is dedication. I am dedicated to you. Gonna be with you my whole life.
All right. We have some technical difficulties right now, but we're going to make sure that we get this song in here. Hallelujah. If we have to start it all over again, we're going to get it in here. Hallelujah. But Pastor Peaches, excuse me, Peaches. Now we're sitting down at dinner now. And I just while I'm trying to get this phone music together, let me say grace. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for 26 years. Great marriage. Not because I've done everything right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
But because my wife has persevered. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and your mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we thank you, Lord, that grace is giving to somebody what they don't deserve. We thank you, Lord. And mercy is not giving to them what they do deserve. So we thank you for both of those in our marriage and in our lives.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Father God, we thank you for the food that we're about to receive for the nourishment of our bodies. We thank Holly, one of my bonus sisters, Leslie, for providing the meal for us today. Thank you so much, Sister Leslie. We love you. God loves you, too. We bless her in Jesus' name. Bless the hands that provided it, the hands that are receiving it, and the hands that prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see if we can get the music going again. Yes. Hallelujah.
Too many of us confuse love with physical attraction, infatuation.
Okay, someone is trying to call us. I don't know what's going on there.
But love is kind and long-suffering. Love is dedication.
I am dedicated.
Thank you, Lord.
Gonna be with you, my heart.
Now, we're sitting at table, candlelight dinner. So if you hear somebody chopping on something, that may be me.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. That was Phil and Brenda Nicholas with I'm Dedicated. And on May 18th, 1896, or was that 1996?
You better get it right.
1996. My wife got married. put the stick down. We got married. Praise the Lord. I thank God for it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What was the name of that church? We got
Trinity Presbyterian.
We got married at Trinity Presbyterian Church, and my pastor at the time was Pastor what's his name?
Mitchell
Warren. I noticed that one of the participants in the bridal party was perspiring really heavily. I'm not going to mention his name. You're not going to mention his name, are you?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Because it wasn't that hot that day, but it was a Saturday where it seemed like, thing that led up to us getting married was crystallized in that moment. And I remember the song that was playing when my wife-to-be came down the aisle. What was that song?
You just said you remember.
Yes, I remember.
God's Woman.
God's Woman. That's what I mean. Yeah, well, it's God's Woman. I'm on the spot here, so sometimes it will leave me. What is it? In fact, if you can picture this angelic vision coming down the aisle. Hey, Siri, play God's Woman.
Now playing God's Woman by Phil and Brenda Nicholas.
And she didn't run down the aisle. She cruised down the aisle. Very slowly.
I didn't know what I was getting into.
All right. And she's become, in our days, married life, she's become a comedian. Now picture this. My wife was a single parent of four children. I was a single parent of four. This was our second trip down the aisle. My former wife, God rest her soul, and her former husband, God rest his soul, in the past. But God had a plan. And that plan involved my wife being a bonus mother to my children. And my children being bonus children to her. The plan was that I would become a bonus father to her children, and her children became bonus children to me. So in the past, if you heard me say I have eight children, or we have eight children, That was crazy. Some were bonuses. Some, hallelujah, came because being the birth father or the birth mother. The bottom line, we one big family.
Hallelujah.
We are family. Anyway, I didn't see anything or think of anything except this wonderful, beautiful woman coming down the aisle to me. You have some thoughts on that? As you stroll down the aisle, you see yourself coming down the aisle.
No, it's all a blur.
It's all a blur.
Oh, my gosh. It was all a blur.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But it was one of the most beautiful days of my life. Hallelujah. But that day is gone. Oh, well. Yeah, here comes reality. Wow. But God has blessed. God has blessed it all. Thank God for Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
You know, it's amazing that God brings, when you hook up with the right person, when you connect with the person that God would have you to connect with, that person brings your greatness out of you. And you begin to do things that you didn't even think that you would ever do.
Amen.
My wife went back to school, she got 2 degrees. I went back to school, I got 3 degrees, 2 books. We worked together. God called us to ministry, to open up a work under the auspices of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you, God's been with us.
Amen.
Through it all. But I want to tell you, one of the things that I think about when I think about our marriage, I think about what Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell said. Hey, Siri, play Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell now playing.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ain't nothing like the real thing. And you think about the transition from dealing with 4 to dealing with 8. you can imagine that was a transition of a great magnitude. But I want y'all to know how great this woman was. 4 months, we got married, May 18th, 1996. July, August, September. 4 months later, we moved into the house we're still in today.
Hallelujah.
Amazing.
Hallelujah.
We needed a big house, y'all. We found a house on Iona. And the thing about it, I love Iona. That means Iona this, you know. And we walked around the house. The house had 6 bedrooms, 3.5 baths, detached garage, 2-car garage, and a driveway. And I remember, I think it was on a Thursday or Friday.
We moved in on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Thursday. When was settlement?
I mean, that was the settlement on Thursday.
So we actually moved in on the Friday. Thursday, I was working for the state, by the way. My wife was working for the city. We had government covered. And there was a certain amount of money that we had to bring to settlement. And we were about $1,100 short.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I tried everything. I was at work. And I called my wife because we got people donated money to us and whatever because they wanted to see us in this house. And I called and said, baby, I think we ought to not have go to settlement because I'm about $1,100 short. And she said, oh, that's all right. We can still go to settlement. It's okay. She said, I didn't get the money, honey. I'm trying to check. So that's all right. It's going to be all right. And so I hung up. We hung up. And maybe, you know, I said to myself, maybe she didn't understand what I said. And so I said, let me call her back. And I called her back. I said, honey, I need to, maybe you didn't understand what I said. I said, I did not get the money that we need for settlement this evening. So we may have to postpone. So, no, we're still going to settlement. It's going to be okay. Everything okay. She act like it was nothing. That she act like everything was going to be okay.
It was.
And so we went there to settlement. I'm still a little anxious, but God brought back to my remember. Thank you, Holy Ghost. A seminar or something I attended, and then some, you know, many, I don't know, years earlier, about getting a note, a 10-day note for what was needed and paying it off in 10 days. So we sat down with the owner and 2 daughters. One daughter, I don't think, liked us. And she was saying, oh, no, blah, blah, blah. But Daddy said, these are nice people. I said, what we can do, we're $1,100 short. We give you a 10-day note, and we'll give that to you within 10 days. And the daughter was saying no. But Daddy said, these are good people. Give them the keys. Let's sign the documents. The house is yours. Gave him a 10-day note, a 10-day note on Saturday, you got $1,100. Isn't that right?
Right.
You paid the 10-day note off in 2 days. Talk about God making a way. He did make a way. Hallelujah. I thank God for all the ups and downs and even the mistakes that I made trying to deal with bonus children and my own children. We call them all ours, but to differentiate, we don't use the word step anymore. Stepfather, stepmother, stepchildren. Throw that out of your vocabulary. They're bonus father, bonus mother, bonus children. Even your mother-in-law, no longer call her mother-in-law. She's a bonus mother. Sister-in-law, bonus sister. Brother-in-law, bonus brother. Let's make these things not negative or not even neutral, but make it a positive thing. But one of the greatest bonus fathers that ever walked the earth was named Joseph.
Amen.
Joseph, Mary's husband.
Mm.
He did not put her away. In those days, you know, you pregnant and you get ready to get married, put it this way, the least trouble you could have gotten was to be put away privately. But he didn't even do that. He said, we're going on with this. So that was a bonus. It's a bonus father. But anyway, so we use the word bonus now. I love that. Don't you love that?
Yes, and the fact of the matter, God has been proving himself all along the way. Hallelujah. The word of God says, I will restore the years that the cankerworm and the lotus and all this that have been destroyed. And God said he will restore. And I thank God because it seemed like all the years that I was by myself raising the girls and Earl was by himself raising his children, it seemed like when the Lord blessed us to come together and in such a beautiful, sanctified way, it seemed like those years were like erased, the years of the pain, the years of walking by myself, the years of doing things by myself, trying to figure out this and trying to figure out that and walking the floors at night, wondering how this and that was going to happen. The Lord, God has a way of erasing pain, or erasing things. And his word, I've been seeing the word of God being manifested all these years, and he is still doing it. God is still doing it. And when you do things his way, and when you do things to glorify his name, God blesses. He blesses in ways that you just have no idea. And when you honor that man of God that God has blessed you with, and that man of God honors you, God just blesses, and he blesses, and he blesses. And when you have a mind to be right and holy before the Lord, before marriage, God blesses that also, and he blesses the children, and he's been allowing the children to see the blessings of the Lord. And the word of God says that your children will rise up and call you blessed. And I thank God because our children they're all grown now. And when we got married, they were all between, they were all between the ages of, and they were all within the same age range. So it was, let's say now, I ain't going to go back there. Y'all can do the math. Okay, so right now, even the youngest, I believe, is 38, which is, let's say, 39. She was 39 this year. From the ages of 39 to, like, 40, 43, 44, 45, all, and they were all teenagers. One woman, Pam may have been a teenager at the time. So it was just like, everybody teenagers at that time, you know, And I remember one time we had we were having prayer, and one of the baby girl said, "Lord, help my mother to have a mind of her own, because she can't think for her. She don't think for herself no more." Oh my gosh! But the thing is, Earl and I had made up in my mind that when we have to make a decision, whichever one of us feel the strongest about a decision, then that's the way we'll go. So therefore, and we made that. We talked about it in the absence of the children, like in the bedroom or away from the children. So when they brought us a situation or when something would come up, we would talk to them, and we came as a united front, we were united in our answers and all. So therefore, the children, if he answered, he answered. If I answered, I answered. We weren't arguing anything from the children. So therefore, it appeared to my children that, oh wow, my mother don't even think for herself no more. She let Mr. Earl do the answer, or his sons may have thought the same thing. Wow. So it was just like, you know, if we weren't arguing, so therefore they had one parent answering them, you know. So therefore, it would appear like, oh my gosh, wow, she only thinks for herself, and he does all the decision making. But when you're in front of your children don't need to see you argue. They don't need to hear you hollering and screaming or anything. They need to see you answering in a nice moderate tone, and both of you coming to agree, you know, together, and giving them an answer for different things. And I just thank God for having a man of God. It doesn't mean that we crossed every T and dotted every I. No, certainly not. But God has been in the midst of it from day one.
You know, what you're saying is so true and real. Because my boys, they were saying that daddy was whipped. But see, it's important for you young married couples that are listening, or you have some people, your children or grandchildren getting ready to get married. Let them know. It's okay to disagree. It's not okay to argue. It's okay to disagree. But if you have children, you disagree out of their earshot. And how you deal with it, disagreement means you're coming from different points of view. That's okay. You want to see the whole circumference of an issue, not just one-sided, but all sides, so that you come up with a informed decision. And again, no two people feel the same about any one issue. So the way you decide is that whoever feels the strongest about that issue, that is the way you go. Now, it may be the wrong decision, but the Bible doesn't talk about, you know, you hear people talk about 50-50, you have compromise. That's not in the Bible. What's in the Bible is submission. That means I may not agree with what you're saying, but I'm going to submit to you. And that's what you have to do, be able to submit to one another. They feel more strongly about it than you do. I'm going to go their way. And guess what? It's redeemable. If it's a mistake, it's redeemable. Like I would tell some people about if the wife, if the husband feels that we ought to go left and the wife feels we ought to go right, but the husband feels more strongly about it, then we'll go left. And keep on going, and then he'll probably come to realize, you know, I think I made a mistake. You don't say, "I told you so." You say, "Okay, dear, it's okay." You just turn around and go the other way. See, you got to understand that differences are good. Arguments are not good. You have some psychologist saying you ought to argue in front of your children and then resolve it so you can show the children how to argue. No. You share with them, you teach them how to listen to one another, to hear If there's a difference of opinion, the person who feels the strongest about it, that's the way you go. And when, if it proves to be a mistake, just go the other way. Don't, no big thing. Don't make a big issue out of it. And so we've been doing that all our marriage. And I don't, you ask any of the children, have you ever heard them arguing? They will all tell you no. In 26 years, no. It's not because we're so good or we do everything right all the time. It's because we get together prior to getting in front of the children. And we work out the issues. But anyway, let me do this. Time for another song. Hey, Siri, play Al Green. Hey, Siri. Play Al Green.
Here's Al Green.
I would love with you, baby.
Whatever you want to do.
Give me your hand. Let's dance. Thinking about our time together, you know, honey, I was thinking about before we even announced our engagement in the church, we kind of kept it on the down low. And if you ever been a part of the church of under 100 people, You might want to keep stuff down low because it'll be all over church in a minute. And so I remember sometimes, you know, because I was in when I didn't have any transportation, a church bus would come and pick you up, and it'd come and pick me and the boys up and pick the girls. And we happened to sit by, beside one another. We surreptitiously were holding hands. You remember that?
Yes.
Was that funny or what? Oh, my goodness. It's been a very interesting journey, I tell you. And I remember on that wedding, before I actually went out to stand, you know how the groom goes out and stands as the woman then comes down the aisle. My best man, who is Dr. Doug Wilson, shared with me, said, "Look, I'm gonna give you six words. You remember these words, you're gonna have a happy marriage." I see a couple of men now getting the pens to write down the six words. Oh, there's a few of the women getting a pen to write down the words too, because they want to tell their husband or their fiance these words. I'm going to tell them very slowly so you can write them down. My best man told me, you want to have a happy marriage, these six words, if you can remember them and use them often, you are going to have a happy marriage. And he leaned back, he paused a little bit, and he said, what did he say, honey?
Yes, dear.
Yes, dear.
Yes, dear.
Yes, dear. And I found out that was true. Hallelujah. You have a happy marriage. Man, if you know how to say yes, dear, and yes, dear. I also found out, too, men, that you listen to your wife with your face. You say, what does that mean? That means, when your wife is talking to you, look at her, eye contact. Because I'm going to tell you, if you don't, she'll repeat it over and over again until you do get eye contact. So to save you from verbal torture, I'm only joking on it. But anyway, you listen to your wife with your face. And my wife would tell you, ladies, men are hunters and gatherers. The closest thing to hunting and gathering, unless you're actually hunting and gathering, is sports. So if you have something you want to say to your husband, and he's watching a sporting event, usually sports events last about 3 hours. With timeouts and all that kind of stuff. So you could possibly go in and say, honey, I'd like to share something with you. By the way, that's the key. Don't say, I want to talk to you. So I'd like to share something with you. Oh, you're watching sports. How long you been watching? I said, about an hour and a half. So I'll come back in another hour and a half, and I'd like to share something with you. That's what you do. Because unless the house is on fire, don't go up and turn off the TV. He's watching the sports. You want to start a fight? Go ahead and do it. You want to have an argument? Go ahead and do it. But if you want to have peace in your home, hallelujah. Men, listen with your face. Women, let him see his sports at least for 3 hours. And use the word share if you want to talk to him. Because if you don't use the word share, he's going to fold his arms. That's a defensive mechanism. That's, I'm getting ready to fight. I'm trying to hold my arms together so I keep from striking out. You know?
When you use the word share, it doesn't allow that wall to go up. When you're going to say whatever you're going to say, okay, but... And also, before you
go to share something with your companion, ask God to give it to you, how to say it, so that it is received the way you're trying to share it. And then when you you can go to them and say, go to your partner and say, do you have a minute? There's something I'd like to share with you. There's something I'd like to share. And so when you're saying, using those words, it doesn't make them feel like, you know, it doesn't, that defense wall don't go up.
Right, right.
You know, they don't feel like, okay, huh, I'm rolling my sleeves up and I'm, you know, something getting ready to come down. They don't feel like, you know, they're getting ready to get attacked. You know, and God will season your words and suggest how to say it so that your partner, so that your companion will be able to receive just what you're saying in the way that you mean it. And their heart will be receptive, because that's what you want. You want their heart to be receptive, to be able to receive this, what you're sharing. Because anytime you're sharing it, it must be something important. It may be something that they just keep on, you know, doing it, maybe just getting in your crawl or whatever. You just can't take it anymore. But you're not coming to them in a manner ready to hit the table. Look, I'm so tired of you doing such and such. This is really ticking me off. No, you may, you know, I need something. There's something I need to share with you. There's something that, that really bothers me. And I would like to, you know, share that with you. And you know what? And when they see that that's something that they're doing is bothering you, because they have no clue. They don't know. It may be something that it's always been a part of them. But because now you're all married, they don't know that that's something that really gets under your craw. And so therefore they say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I won't do it anymore. Because when you love somebody, you don't want to do anything to offend them. You don't want to do anything that gets them, that makes them mad. Because you know you just want to keep everything on the up and up. You want to do everything that will glorify God in your marriage, and you don't ever want to offend. You don't ever want to do anything that's going to make God frown. Because thanks to God, we can do things that will, in marriage, to hinder your prayers. You don't want to do anything to hinder your prayers. The way you treat your partner, the way you treat your companion, you can hinder your prayers.
You can hinder your prayers. I don't care if you're the deacon or you're the preacher, and you treat your wife or you treat your husband wrong or bad, and you go to church and everybody's falling out under the anointing of your word. It don't make no difference. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. Yeah, you can move mountains. You can do all this stuff, and you don't show the love. See, love is only a four-letter word unless you put it into the action. Love your family. You're going to treat them right. A lot of men want to be treated like a king. You can't, fellas, you listen to me now. You can't be treated like a king if you don't treat your wife like a queen. And wives, you can't be treated like a queen if you don't treat your husband like a king. It takes two to work this thing out together. You are king and queen of your garden, of your world, of your space, of your home. And so treat each other, because see, somebody looking at you. Your children, if you got children. If you don't have children, I know you got a neighbor. I don't care if they're a mile away. You got a neighbor that's watching you. How you treat your wife. And I'm going to tell you, this is sad. That some folk treat folk that don't know, folk on the job, folk at church, folk in the community better than they do their wives.
Mm-mm-mm.
And I hate to say it, you men that do that, you're crazy. Now, the Bible talks about don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't go to sleep. angry. You know why? Men, you go to sleep angry with the woman that you outside your mind. But she gonna do like a woman when I used to live in Cambridge. I had one of the buddies. He would run around on his wife and stay out late. He'd come home, and she'll jump up and say, what would you like to eat? You want me to heat up some food for you? And she kept doing it. She wouldn't say a word to him. And we told he was kind of, I think, kind of boasting about that. I got a train. I said, she don't say nothing? You better watch out. So enough, in due time, one night he woke up with a burning sensation. She had boiled some water and threw it on him. Hot water. You go to sleep. You got to have, number one, peace at home. You got to treat her like a queen, not like somebody, a maid or you know, a house sitter or anything like that. Treat her like.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Oh, okay. Hallelujah. Y'all hear that beeping? Somebody's trying to call at this time. Be on the air, y'all. But I mean, we're just talking. You know, this is an intimate look at the birds.
Amen.
You know, this, I'm Earl today, and that's Peaches. Hi, Peaches. Yes, we've been calling her Peaches for such a long time. Hallelujah. And I thank God for it because, like I said earlier, I wouldn't have published the two novels if it wasn't for her. Because I'm going to tell you, I wanted a dog. I kept talking about a dog. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got a big stuffed dog. Where's that big stuffed dog? In the garage, you think?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's just, but anyway, but one day she on the job, they did something and gave her a little dog, and she brought it home. Because I wanted a real dog. I brought a bowl, a bone, the bones the dog's supposed to chew on, a collar and a leash, all that stuff. And she brings me a stuffed dog. And, you know, I don't know, I called the dog Binky. I couldn't think of anything else to call him. I called him Binky, the stuffed dog. And I would play with her. I would say, Peach, tell me a story. And she wouldn't tell me a story. But I grabbed this little dog. I said, okay, little dog, we're going to tell a story. And there was a land called Binky Land, and it was this dog. And I started telling little stories about this Binky. And that's where the books came into being. And you'll hear more about it if you go buy the book.
See, women, when your man has a dream, you need to allow them, let them know that as much as possible you're in their corner. But you had to come together. If it's something that you don't totally agree with, like, dog, wait a minute. You think, like, who's going to be walking this dog? Who's going to be going to the store buying this 50-pound bags of food? And who's going to be doing this and that and all?
Yeah.
So you have to come together and There may have to be a compromise in there.
It's not a compromise. It's a submissive. Submitted to you did not want me to get a dog. I did not get a dog, did I?
No, you did not. What I gave you was a 5-inch stuffed dog.
All right.
And
I got a
dog. So it must have been a little annoying.
I should have said I wanted a live dog.
But
I wasn't specific. You understand what I'm saying?
But that small dog was the inspiration
to
novels. See? See how God works?
Four novels because got two getting ready to go roll out again. Yeah, two more. All about the same dog. Lord have mercy.
But young people, to the ladies, I'm speaking to the ladies. When you desire a man of God, make that list. I don't care how strange or crazy the attributes that you want in him. The Word of God says, you want a man that loves Christ, like Christ loves the church. And you want a man of God that's going to love Jesus more than he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
And make that list. I don't care what you... God cares about the very same things that you care about. If you want a husband to be able to, like, grease your hair at night or brush your hair at night, be able to run your bath water, that may be something that, tell God that, yes. Tell God that God cares about you down to your pinky toe. So therefore, if that's what you want your husband to be able to admire your little pinky toe, you may think you got the cutest little pinky toe in the world, then tell God that. He knows it. If that's what's in your heart, he already knows it. So speak it out to him. Tell him whatever is on your list, whatever is in your heart, put on your list. Put it, seal it up, put it in the envelope, stick it in the Bible. God knows the desires of your heart, and he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Hallelujah. When you're feeling bad, you want a husband that's going to be able to lay hands on you and rebuke the sickness and bad feelings away. When you come home from work, that somebody done irritated or someone just belittled you at work, you want a husband that's going to be able to say, honey, this is what I want you to do next time somebody talking to you and belittling you at work. Say, excuse me, I have to go to the ladies' room. And my husband used to tell me, he said, excuse yourself, go to the ladies' room. He said, and you go in and you pray in the spirit. He said, this will give them time to come to themselves. Okay? He said, don't you let nobody talk to you, talk down to you or whatever. You know, and know who you are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And you want a companion, someone that you can come home to and talk to and tell them, oh, I had a good day at work. And you want to come home and tell them about the bad situations at work. Hallelujah. But let them know, honey, I don't want you to try and fix it. I just want to vent. Because husbands think they're supposed to, any time you come home, or every time you come home and you explain to them, oh, this happened, you know, negative situations, and you just venting. In their mind, I can fix that. And then when they're able to jump in there in the conversation, they're going to try and tell you just how to fix this and how to fix this. And that's not why you're sharing it with them. You sharing it with them because you need to get it off your chest. You just want to vent. You just want some ears. You just want them to listen.
You know,
and you don't always want somebody. You don't want them to fix it, but because they love you and the way God wired them, they want to try and fix any and every situation that you have. But that's not what you want. You just want to be able to vent to them. And sometimes you may just have to tell them that.
Can I just share this? That, you know, a lot of men, and I guess I was guilty of this too. Your wife comes home from work. You say, how was work, dear? And she begins to tell you how work was. And before long, you interrupting her and tell her, oh, well, you should have done this, should have done that. You only volunteer that kind of information if she asks you for that. You don't interrupt her because you ask her, how was your day? She's trying to tell you. Keep your mouth shut and listen to her. And if she says, honey, how should I handle such and such? But if she doesn't say that, you can say after she finishes talking, don't talk over her, but after she finishes talking, ask her, may I share something with you? And be sincere in that question. Because she may say no. If it's about what I just told you, no. Then you just drop it. And wives, the same difference. A lot of men complain that you're trying to mother me. because they have a problem. Maybe they are always looking for the keys. And say, if you put your keys in one spot, blah, 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 you'll be able to find them when you need them. And you do things like that, or the shoes in the floor or whatever, and you start having an argument about that or whatever. You only deal with that kind of thing if he says, look, honey, I need some help in keeping up with my keys. What do you suggest? If he doesn't do that, don't volunteer that unless you ask, can I share something with you? And that share is such a powerful word. It's a disarming word. It's like telling somebody, all right, put your guns back in your holsters, you know, take your finger off the trigger, put the guns in your holsters, because I just want to share something with you. It's so soothing. It's almost like a soothing word, share. Because you learned that from when you were a little baby. Your mama told you, share your toys with Buddy over there. Share your toys with your sister or your brother. Share. So it's sort of like it leans more to the positive. But again, we have to be aware of how it's gonna impact each other, you know. And one of the things that I think is men should not do is always. If your woman makes a mistake or it appears to be a mistake, but you know, if it's something minor, don't sweat the small stuff. Well, women, if he makes a mistake and say he may be boiling some eggs and you know, he forgot about them and the eggs, burnt boiled eggs. Oh, Lord have mercy. Don't shoot him because he did that.
But if that's something he always doing, go out and buy a timer. Go out and buy an egg timer.
See, you don't have to address it that way. You can do something like, you remember I used to share a thing about stumbling over people's shoes, you know, in the, he always leaves his shoes in one spot, and you go to the bedroom and you stumble over. Instead of arguing about, why you always leave the shoes in, go and buy a basket. And where the spot where he used to leave his shoes, put a basket there, and he drops the shoes in the basket. And then after a while, he'll come up to you and say, look, can we move this basket over near the window so it can be out of the way? And so, sure, honey, anything you say. So he moves it over there, and he still puts his shoes in the basket or whatever because, and then he thinks he did it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're the one did it. See, you don't have to address the problem by coming out and saying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You just provide a solution.
Mm-hmm. Like buying an egg timer.
Or whatever. Say, oh baby, look what I found today. Oh, you know, blah blah blah. This is an egg timer.
Yep, and when you know he has eggs on the stove, you go right in there. As soon as it starts boiling, turn it to 6 minutes. And then when he heard the ding 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 go off, he said, oh honey, your eggs ready. And you know what? And the water would not have boiled out by then. And you won't have a kitchen full of smoke. But and he has some nicely boiled eggs. It's always a way to handle something without there being an argument. Because the enemy will always look for a way to put something between you, a wedge or something like that. No, and you don't want to go to be angry. You don't want anything to come between the two of you, because you never know when someone may call you and they need prayer, or a situation may come up and there's a prayer situation. You want to be able to pray for someone. You always want to be able to to lay hands on somebody and rebuke the enemy or something. And you always want to be able to be in an atmosphere or a situation where you don't have to repent before you pray. Okay, you want to be able to pray and reach heaven at any given moment, even for each other, you know. And you don't want things to happen and stuff get piled up and piled up and piled up, and then y'all walking past each other at home and cutting eyes and looking at each other with a side eye, and then after a while not sleeping together and stuff like that. No, you don't want that. Hallelujah.
Our time is up, but I want Siri. Hey Siri, play "I'm Dedicated." We thank you for joining us in our little table. We've been eating while we're talking, and it's been fun. This has been different, but Pastor,
thank you for joining us in our 26th wedding anniversary. Continue to keep us in your prayers. God bless you.
Yes, and God bless you. We look forward to having you for Sunday service on Sunday. And tomorrow at 7 a.m., keep on trying to get into our conference call line for morning devotion. Hallelujah. But all you married couples or those that are engaged, hallelujah. Be dedicated to one another. And dedicated to God.
God has taught me all.
Hallelujah. God bless you now.